Hello and welcome. You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mayer. And joining us in the studio is Alessio Rastani from Leading Trader. Alessio, how are you doing today?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
Well, before we move on to the slides, let's take a quick look at Snapchat. Obviously, that's having its IPO today. So what do you make of this?
Well, I'll be honest, I've never used Snapchat, although I've heard of it. Apparently, it's one of these apps where you post something and it immediately disappears.
Yes, Zach is an avid user.
Yeah, the problem is you can't say you don't use it and you don't know what it is, because then it makes you look like an old fool. You've got to say, I use it all the time, you know, 50 pictures a day, and but it just deletes itself, and it's, you know, you've got to, like, pretend that you're with it. But what the interesting part of the whole thing there is the way that, I think in the last year, they lost $500 million.
Wow.
And so, market cap is like $20 billion. So they're on 10 times their losses at the moment, which I think, you know, is great. I mean, you know, you just, if you're an entrepreneur, lose as much money as possible and see how, you know, that gives you the highest valuation, you know.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens today, because obviously if it does well, then other unicorns, as they're called, are going to probably IPO.
Interesting. I mean, you can tell we're in a major bull market when you got these crappy apps getting on the bandwagon of the stock market. No offense to Snapchat.
You'll have to get on it. See, I don't think it's crappy. It's quite fun. Anyway, okay. Let's move on to the slides. Okay, so China Magnet buys London Cheese Grater Tower. Now, this tower's in the City of London and actually got the best sort of rental, so I think that's quite a good deal. But what do you think?
£1 billion.
£1 billion. Wow. Is that a lot? That's quite... Yeah.
It seems like a lot of these skyscrapers have said they're going to struggle anyway, because a lot of the insurers are pulling out of their, you know, their offices. So maybe it's a good thing that we're selling
The thing I'm looking forward to is when we all work from home, or the remote working, so you know, people just stop, finally learn the lesson and stop getting on the tube every day and the Southern Rail and wasting so much time. I think we should really try and get into the 21st century now.
Very social of you there,
Zach. Remote working, apart from Tip TV, obviously. Yeah.
True.
Okay, so Telstra says China sales tripled to more than $1 billion. That's according to Bloomberg. You were surprised by that figure?
Yeah, well, for one thing, interesting thing is people may not know this, but I went to a Tesla showroom. In fact, I'm doing a driving test on Saturday. So what I found out is Tesla, apparently, I didn't even know this, but they already have the self-driving technology in a lot of their cars. I had absolutely no idea. It's called Autopilot. So Tesla, I think it's great value for what, I think they're offering £60,000 for their S model cars. And if you don't like cars, this is going to bore you to death. So essentially, the car has Autopilot, so self-driving. The only problem is in this country, in the UK, self-driving technology is still not totally legal. But it will be at some point. And obviously, it's fully electric. I actually am a believer in the idea of not using petrol and all that, you know, becoming more electric. So I'm a believer in the idea of Tesla. I like it to do really well.
Where do you charge? Where do you charge your car? Yeah.
Well, from what I've been told, there are places around the UK, and also you can charge it from your home. Apparently, it only adds about £10 to your electric bill if your car is fully empty. To charge it fully, only about £10 in electric.
If you have a little block of flats, you have like a wire hanging out the window and going to...
Well, there's lots of charging stations in South Cannon and places like that, isn't there? But they're not everywhere in London. Mm. Okay, let's move on. So data from Switzerland this morning showed that economic growth in the last 3 months of 2016 remained at just 0.1% Q-on-Q. But this took the annualized rate down to just 0.6% from 1.4% in the third quarter. This is one of the lowest rates of GDP growth in 35 years and should be compared to rates comfortably over 4% in previous years. Thoughts on that?
Obvious thought there is that the Swiss are getting killed on their very expensive currency, and that's really making them uncompetitive, apart from obviously the cuckoo clocks and the watches.
There you go. Next slide. Prosecco sales set to continue to fizz in the years ahead. UK imports of all sparkling wines, including champagne and cava, to rise 18% up to 2020. This is one of my favourite stories. Mm. And of course, this is despite the fact that Boris Johnson actually said to Italy that if they don't sort of support us in Brexit negotiations, then Prosecco sales are going to fall. So clearly he wasn't right on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, next slide. So the economic calendar, not a great deal happening on that. Anything you think we really should keep an eye on there?
Well, apart from the fact that we have some important news events, I mean, where are we right now? We are at the beginning of March, so we got non-farm payroll coming through very soon. as far as I don't particularly watch at the moment the CAD GDP, but certainly that should be interesting. I wouldn't consider those two particularly, well, maybe GDP of CAD, but I don't think CPI on the EU is going to be that much of a major story.
We better move along.
Exactly. Okay, so next slide. We are looking at the FX sentiment, Zach.
Interesting that people are going much more short of dollar Canadian. I think we're still waiting for the 130 to break on that big level, so maybe they're anticipating that happening. Aussie dollar is broken, looks like it's broken down below 76.50 this morning, so that's on the correct side as well, as far as the bear trades are concerned. And then dollar yen through the roof in recent days, really tracking higher with the Trump rally. So it's interesting that it's quite mixed.
And all I would say about here's what I would say about the gold market for those of your traders or your viewers who watch gold and silver. The month of March historically is a weak period seasonally, going back for many years, decades. March is traditionally a weak period for gold. So if you're looking to get into gold, this is the month. And watch for the middle of March, because that's usually where the bottom in gold happens before we see some strength into the end, going into April and May. So again, if you're looking to get into gold metals, look for weakness in this month. 1245, that region, 1200, 1245 is going to be your target for getting long on gold.
Okay, so let's move on to your slides now. So what's we saying?
Yeah, okay. So before anyone freaks out about this chart, because it looks a little bit ghastly, this is what we call Elliott Wave Theory. And it's very simple to understand. If you look at that the little image of Russian dolls, that essentially is what this is. So Russian dolls, you open one, there's another doll inside and all that. Same thing in Elliott Wave Theory. Elliott Wave Theory simply says that markets tend to move in five waves in the direction of the trend. Okay? After the five waves, what we have is a correction, which is three waves, A, B, C. But here's the thing. Within each wave, you have mini waves. So 1, 2, 3, and 5 are composed of five waves. And the two other ones, the smaller waves, are composed of three waves. Okay, before you get confused, let's just move to the next slide. But if it sounds confusing, believe me, it isn't. So this is the S&P. Only a few days ago, just before the rally we saw on the S&P, okay, a few days ago, I sent an email newsletter to our subscribers on Leading Trader, and I said, look, wait for wave five, because based on the Elliott waves, wave four completed last Thursday on that low. Everyone was freaking out last week. Oh, the market's crumbling. No, it wasn't. This is wave four. And I said, wait for wave five, and that's it. We're having now wave five, which means what? Which means we're now in the final wave, in this muscle wave, this mega wave three, okay? So what does that mean? It means that we're coming close to a correction in the stock market, okay? Not a big major correction. I'm looking for a pullback, a decent pullback here. I'm actually looking to get short in the 2400 zone, so 2390 to 2400. Look for divergences. I would say traders watching this, look for any divergences, bearish divergences in the 2400 zone where we can potentially get short on the S&P and the Dow. Next chart. Yeah, so basically, as you can see here, I've just put the chart of the S&P. This is the hourly chart, guys. And you can see one of my indicators, which I use, which shows time resistance. It's projecting potential time resistance coming through on the 3rd of March. So if we're going to see a top in the S&P, most likely we'll see it in the next couple of days by the 3rd of March. That's what I would say. Again, that's what I've just written there. Oh, by the way, that's wrong, 2390, not 2290. I'm sorry. And the next chart, I would say is the same thing with the Dow. For those of you who trade the Dow, again, time projection, a 3rd of March, most likely. So again, looking for getting short divergences in 21090 to 21150 in the region.
Okay, so.
And I think there's one euro chart. Just take a look at these time projections on the euro. And we actually went short in the euro some weeks ago, done really well on that. But the next time projection is telling us is, when is that? I think 17th of March, by the looks of things, is a potential resistance in time for the euro. So something to watch there. Any views on the euro, Zach?
I have to say, I've received emails praising your performance on Tip TV. I wasn't going to tell you, but
I'm sure you're making that up.
No, I'm not. So this is the type of educational side that I think people appreciate.
Okay, thanks.
Good. Well, let's move on to the next slide. So trade of the day, Zach.
Yes, Fresnillo. The mining stocks haven't actually taken part in the breakout that we've had for the markets of the FTSE at record high. So it's interesting. There's a bit of a divergence in between the sector and the market as a whole. Set around 1477, objective £14, and stops about 1506. Looks like a reasonable risk reward trade there. And then just to show you how useful broker recommendations can be, sometimes we have selection there on ITV, which people can digest at a later date perhaps, but mixed fundamentals, a special dividend from the company. Presumably the bulls will prefer the JP Morgan overweight analysis there. And then just a theory of mine that hedge funds are going to do a little bit better now once we've got rid of that ultra monetarist phase that we had from the last 8 years, which really killed them. So buy on Man Group and from Citigroup, and also overweight from JP Morgan as well.
Super, Zach, Alessio, thank you. Our guest today, Alessio Rostani from Leading Trader, and coming up next, our proactive investor shares of the day.